Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Yeah. You all do take your seats, I'm sorry. Stand. Whilst my husband's telling me I'm not switched on and I am. You all know me well by now, and you know that I love a good old hymn. And as I read the Colossians reading, I could hear myself singing in my head. "Thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifestly seen and heard, and heaven's beloved one. In thee most perfectly expressed, the Father's glories shine, of the full deity possessed, eternally divine. True image of the infinite, whose essence is concealed, brightness of uncreated light, the heart of God revealed. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou, that every knee to thee should bow." This is singing about the Jesus we have come to worship. This is the Jesus whose story we retell week by week as we read the gospel. And this is the Jesus who lives by faith in our hearts. So let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus Christ, everlasting Word, only Son of the Father, this morning as we consider your story, help us to draw closer to you, to sit at your feet, to hear you speak to us and change us for your glory. Amen. We've been doing quite a bit of singing scripture this morning. We've already sung from Lamentations and from the book of Psalms. Who knows where next? Our gospel reading lets us in on quite an intimate domestic scene. Jesus is having a meal with his good friends, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And of course, the disciples would have been there too, the 12, and I feel sure others who also travelled with Jesus. So there was quite a houseful to cater for. In a time without modern communications, there wouldn't have been adequate time for a warning to prepare. But hospitality in Jesus' time was a sacred duty. Guests were welcomed. They were greeted with a kiss. Not our culture, though some cultures around the world still do that. And the guest would wish peace to the house. We heard that, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, Jesus' instructions. When you go, wish peace to the house. That would be part of their greeting as they entered. And then they would have their dusty feet washed and be offered a cool drink. I think in this recent heat, we understand more of how welcome that would be. And so when Jesus and his followers arrive at the home in Bethany, we're told Martha opened her house to him. And Jesus soon settled in, I'm sure, to teaching, as was always his way. His followers were keen to hear from him. They learned by asking questions, hearing his stories, and asking more questions. And so the normal thing at that time would be for the men to sit around him, literally at his feet, and learn from him. So Martha is in the kitchen area, frantically preparing breads and olives and fruit and herbs and all that she could lay her hands on. And her sister Mary, oblivious to the frantic food preparation tasks, seats herself on the floor, intently listening to Jesus. Definitely not the normal action of a woman at the time. It was the men who did the listening, learning, debating, sitting at the feet of the teacher or the rabbi. And Martha's really distracted by her task, so she can't spend her time listening to Jesus. So she takes her complaint directly to him. Quite bold of her, I think, but shows the level of friendship between them. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." Perhaps at that point she's thinking, well, if Jesus tells Mary to help, we can get this food out to everyone, and then I can hear some of what he's telling. Jesus speaks very gently. "Martha, Martha." He acknowledges that she's worried and upset, and he doesn't say that she's being unreasonable. But nor does he say that Mary is in the wrong. In fact, he says that Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. We don't know how the situation was resolved, because the scene ends there in our Bible account. And I think we have to use our imagination as to how Martha received this word from Jesus. And in doing so, I want to draw your attention to something which really struck me: the fact that Jesus spoke her name twice. "Martha, Martha," he said. And I wonder if this use of the name twice reminds you of any other stories. Let's jump back to the Old Testament for a couple of moments. In Genesis 22, God called Abraham to test him, to send him up on a mountain to sacrifice his son. It didn't make any sense at all to Abraham, but he was determined to be obedient. But as he raised the knife, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." And we know the story. God made his covenant with Abraham. He tested him and now called him to be the father of a great nation through whom God would bless the whole earth. Move into Exodus chapter 3. Moses called God from the burning bush, and God revealed himself to Moses, and he commissioned him to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. The boy Samuel, called in the night by God. Samuel, Samuel. And then he's told to speak into the wickedness that was going on at that time. And God used him mightily. So, and there are others, I could go on, but you'll want your lunch today. So for me, there's a significance that Jesus speaks Martha's name twice in this manner. She isn't being rebuked for making the kitchen work a priority or for asking for help from her sister, which would have been a reasonable request. No, she's told gently that today there is a higher priority, and that's been chosen by Mary. So these people who we've heard of briefly, their name spoken twice, and then they're raised up by God. They're called and encouraged for some special task or reason. So what was Martha raised up for? Well, if you fast forward to the next time that we meet this family, it's in John's Gospel, chapter 11. Of course, the focus on that chapter is the raising of Lazarus. Jesus there shows his power over death and gives one of these great I am sayings. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. You see, when Jesus arrived at the home in Bethany, Martha ran out to greet him, whilst Mary stayed in the house. And so this wonderful I am statement was given to Martha, and it was given with a question. Do you believe this? Martha's response shows how she's moved from fretting hostess to woman of faith, even at the time of great sadness when her brother had just died. And she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. So even at this time of much more pressure than just a houseful of guests arriving needing feeding, she's bereaved, surrounded by mourners, but her faith in Jesus shines like a beacon in this gloom of sadness. So now that we've seen what happened later, let's return to our consideration of today's story. We're sometimes encouraged to think about ourselves, and are we either a Martha or a Mary as we read this story? That's not helpful for the men amongst us, I'm sure. Nor perhaps the most helpful for the women either. Tom Wright, commenting on this passage, said, it has been customary to play the two sisters off, passive spirituality versus aggressive fussiness. Mary wins, but at a cost. As feminists point out, this keeps both in neat boxes devised by a male world, the one sedate and devout, and the other making tea and sandwiches. But he also remarks later on in this article, I think it was in the Church Times, sit at the feet of this teacher and you will find work soon enough. And so I think what I would like us to find today from this story is to observe the countercultural behaviour of Mary, its complete acceptance and even endorsement from Jesus. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Because you see, I believe that we, in coming here to worship week by week on a Sunday morning, are now doing something that is counter-cultural. It's not really what we all do around here anymore on a Sunday morning. And in that sense, we have chosen, like Mary, to sit at Jesus' feet and to listen. So rather than trying to find ourselves in that neat box devised by a male world and decide whether we're more passive spirituality or aggressive fussiness, let's learn from both of these women. From Mary, to intentionally sit at the feet of the teacher, to learn, to question, to debate, and to listen. Perhaps accepting that as we do so, we will soon find work to do because he will teach and lead us. But let us also hear our name called twice by that same teacher and Lord. And let us find our faith in him strong enough to declare, even in the toughest of life's situations, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifestly seen and heard, and heaven's beloved one. In thee most perfectly expressed, the Father's glories shine. Of the full deity possessed, eternally divine, true image of the infinite, whose essence is concealed, brightness of uncreated light, the heart of God revealed. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou, that every knee to thee should bow. Amen.